You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're back at the CWCBE last day, having a great time seeing everybody who's rolling around and checking out all the industry stuff that we got going on in Los Angeles. And, you know, today I'm real psyched when I get to meet guys from the industry, especially guys that came from out of the country. And Canada is such a booming fucking industry and going legal this year, which is really exciting, which must be really exciting for you guys. I got Chris Treville from Storix and
Philip Treville.
And Philip, what's going on, guys, man? Tell me a little bit about the company.
Nice to meet you, Andrew. We're actually very excited to be in LA. I mean, you know, we believe California is on the verge of accelerating this market. California brands are world renowned, so we're very happy to be part of this event here. We are originally from Europe. Our company has been established for about 20 years out of Holland.
Shout out to Holland. I love Holland, man. Yeah. Definitely the home for a long time of the Cannabis Cup by High Times.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
finally, they took a break because I know there were a lot of laws and things that were going down, and then things kind of changed a little bit. Now they're being a little bit more friendly and stuff. So I know that they just this year, after many years of taking a break, came back to Amsterdam and did the Cannabis Cup this year.
Yeah, exactly. They're seeing what's going on in North America. I mean, you know, Colorado, in my view, is ground zero of the expansion to commercializing cannabis. We've been involved with a beta site in Colorado for the last year and a half or so.
Okay, nice.
So we grow a very high quality product out of Colorado.
THC or CBD?
Both.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. What kind of strains you guys rocking?
We do pretty much any strain. Our facilities that we construct can mimic any geographical area on Earth.
Okay.
So we simulate the different conditions that are required for any strain that would be, you know, looked after.
Sure.
And now we started construction. We're actually based in Montreal. We started construction on a 350,000 square foot canopy project. We're going to be one of the exclusive suppliers to the Quebec government.
Okay, nice, nice.
Which is, as you know, opening up for recreational
yeah,
very
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, for sure.
But also pharma. You know, there's going to be products that we'll participate with that are going to be in pharmacies as well.
Oh, that's great.
So that's our story. Historically, we were involved with fruit and vegetable.
Okay.
Storix as a company is a fruit and vegetable solution for storage and quality hold.
Okay.
All our clients are the biggest fruit growers in the world that produce for supermarkets and export to other countries.
And do you essentially help keep the material fresh? Is
yeah.
that essentially what it is?
Storix is all about that. It's about providing a solution that's energy efficient and has the lowest operational cost for these farmers whose industries have already consolidated long time ago. So they're looking for pennies everywhere to try to make a profit margin that makes sense as they grow and supply the world with their product, like fruit, different kinds of fruits, vegetables. We've been in that world for 20 years. The past 4 years, we started in R&D to figure out what would be the best way to grow the cannabis plant. How could we consistently give a pharma-grade product year-round, you know, to our customers at the lowest operational cost, so at the lowest price point possible.
Sure.
And that's where we're at right now.
Nice. And how long have you been producing the stuff? You said in Cali, you got some stuff going on in Cali. How long has that been going on for?
No, our first beta site is in Colorado.
Oh, in Colorado, okay.
That's been running for about a year and a half.
Nice.
So we have some good data out of that. It's meant for extraction specifically.
Okay.
And then our site in Montreal, the bigger one, is under construction, so we don't have plants there
yet. Sure, sure, yeah, of course.
In California, we're in discussion to open a site here also because we'd like to partner up with some of the better brands from California.
Absolutely.
So it's like a two-punch step. We're looking for the best brands who would like to be propelled on our platform in Canada.
Sure.
Which, as you probably know, you could export to other countries from there.
Absolutely.
And then at the same time, we could provide them with, you know, a consistent product at a low price in California or in other states that they might be involved with.
Absolutely. I'm a 10-time Cannabis Cup winner myself. We got a lot of bud and genetics, and obviously Purple Haze, we put out Jimmy's Cannabis and other different celebrities. So okay. We've done stuff for Anthrax, Motorhead. We signed Peter Tosh. We have a whole slew of hip-hop, rock, and different celebrities that we put help license to growers and cultivators their IP to do branded products all over America. So
nice.
Yeah, yeah.
So we should talk after this interview.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, for sure. I love, you know, as a matter of fact, we're just starting to, we did a deal with a Canadian company a couple years ago, Nutritional High. And they were going to start in Canada, but then with all the regulations and stuff, they waited. And then they went to Colorado, too. They opened up and built a facility in Pueblo, Colorado, and they're starting to put out now their first products and stuff like that. So I definitely like working with Canadian companies, really cool guys and stuff. And then we have another group that we just got approached with where I can't really until the deal is finished this week and stuff, but announce a pretty prominent Canadian company that is going to be putting out cannabis-friendly hotels.
Okay.
And that'll be very exciting.
Awesome. Nice.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, you guys come to the States a lot, though, to check out the herb and stuff and to smoke it and try it and shit. You guys
Absolutely.
Got any? You guys got some favorites or no?
I don't think we have any favorites. We're still kind of, you know, testing grounds. There's so many products out there, you know, that we still have to discover. But we do have some good counseling.
Nice. Absolutely.
For some of those, you know, we have a expert grow team from Colorado, actually. So they're giving us some good advice.
Nice. You're kind of recruiting them. Are you guys very into the packaging design, like all the aspects of it, or the guys in Colorado kind of running the show for you guys and you're just kind of giving advice, or what's the situation?
Well, right now we've been focusing mostly on, you know, getting down the science of growing the plant.
Sure. You guys doing tables, buckets, soil, cocoa, what do you got going on?
So we are more focused on optimizing the space of the grow rooms where we're in. So we're a complete vertical canopy that uses the full height of the building inside the flower room, so we can increase the verticality quite easily without losing the efficiency of access to plants.
So are you guys stacking them on those like stackables where it's like the lights and then they grow to a certain size and you have like kind of almost like stacked up as high as you can go, right?
No, it's not quite like that. It's a very unique design.
Okay.
It's an IP that we've developed in that Colorado site, actually.
Okay.
It's like, basically like a wall of canopy that faces another wall of canopy and shares a light in the middle.
Oh, okay, wow.
So we can go really high up. Like we can go, 30, 40 feet in height with automation, of course. And that way we have the most amount of canopy per square footprint, which dramatically changes the operational costs. That's basically one of the
wow.
key points.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The other key point is that we deliver all the tools possible to do a full organic grow inside without having any risk of insect contamination or any
spores. Oh, really?
Spores
How do you avoid insects?
So well, that
go ahead, Philip. Yeah.
That started if we were talking about our Holland reach out about 20 years ago. We over the course of time in Holland, there were some issues on the tulips that got exported to various countries worldwide, where insect infestations would happen when a package of flowers would arrive at destination. So Back then, we were asked to develop a chemical-free solution to completely eradicate any insects on the fresh flowers.
Get the fuck out of here.
So we successfully accomplished that with a large tulip exporter out of Holland.
Oh, so you originally was figuring it out for regular flowers, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you, just out of curiosity, the same spray you use to kill the insects, there's so many different insects that infect cannabis, right? You guys know much about the little like centipede kind of worms almost like that can get into the buds and then they crawl into the buds and start literally eating them from the inside and stuff. Would the stuff that you guys have work for something like that?
So far, any insect that we have introduced,
any
like what, from spider mice to
just
trips
from a spray
to aphids,
and
to,
just spraying it.
We control the entire atmosphere where the plants sit in, so the plants do not get moved, or there's no product being sprayed on the plants. It's just the entire room that goes under lockdown, and then the atmosphere is influenced in certain ways that plants like being there. There's no harm being done to the plants, but any insect or their eggs that may have
won't
been
live
laid, won't survive 24
really?
Hours later.
24 hours. So you bring it into your environment, you don't got to spray shit, there are going to be no bugs.
Exactly.
That is pretty hard to imagine. You know that, right? Like,
well,
just the sound of it doesn't even sound possible.
To make it more kind of like in a picture, it's if you can imagine the building itself is in a bubble.
Okay.
So the bubble, if you will, allows us to be, you know, to have digital precision on the CO2, the oxygen, the nitrogen, the ethylene, the ethanol, whatever components are in floating around in the air.
Sure.
Of course, the temperature and the humidity too. The buildings are LEED certified, so they're very energy efficient. And they basically are the first, that bubble is the first line of defense already in regards to contamination. We call that also a facility that is gas tight. To a point where, you know, it's the head of a pin for about 3,500 cubic feet of airspace. That's the leak. That's the air leak tolerance that we allow in the building.
Wow.
With a slight overpressure, so that's the first line of defense already. There's nothing coming in there. And then if there was, through a door or through a human or an employee, whatever. Then that's the system that Philip just described, which is a lockdown of that flower room or that room that has that issue. And within 24 hours, we're back to, you know, being contamination free.
Wow.
Yeah, so that system is developed now more to be a security blanket, more so than an actual active prevention. The active prevention is the facility itself and the workflow that gets developed within the facility
now,
to keep any pests out.
Let's say, you know, the levels of carbon, this, all this stuff that you're regulating through the air, it's fine for a human, but you tweak it to a level where an insect wouldn't survive, essentially? Is that kind of like sort of a layman way of understanding it?
No, because when we say that the room goes in a lockdown for less than 24 hours, humans will not be in there either.
Okay.
It's fine for the plants.
I got you.
It's fine for the plants, but not for the insects or for the human.
Or for humans. Okay, or for humans.
Yeah.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you start seeing some bugs. All of a sudden it's like, fucking everybody out.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And
press
then,
the button.
And then the button fucking lays out.
Exactly.
But it's not putting out some kind of toxic fume.
No,
it's,
right?
it's just altering the existing conditions that you're already in. So ambient air contains around 400 to 800 ppm of CO2.
Okay.
It contains 21%
okay.
of oxygen.
Okay.
And 78% of nitrogen, right?
Sure.
So we're just altering those existing components to a point
where...
What
a great idea.
Yeah.
It's basically an algorithm, the process for 24 hours there or below 24 hours, and it kind of like gives the incentive of the insect to hurry and breathe basically, because
sure.
they can hold their breath.
Sure,
so
sure.
So we make them breathe, and then they lay a lot of eggs because that's their survival mode.
Sure.
And then we basically stop them from existing.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
that's pretty. Now, let me ask you something. When you were first doing it and trying to figure that shit out, did you have like plants where there was a level where it was too much for the plant, and then all of a sudden you had fucking rows of plants
We purposely went to seek for those, let's say, borderline levels.
To know where
our limits are. So we did a whole bunch of testing in the beginning on different insects, different times, different values, and pushed the envelope to see where we can take a plant, where is it still safe, does it start to become dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So you add that component with the height and the verticality, also the type of lights we're using. The precision
How many lights you got in that bad boy in Colorado? How many you guys running with?
The canopy there right now is 3,600 square feet of canopy, so it's a small beta site.
3,600. All right.
But the one in Montreal is going to be much larger. Like I said, it's like 350,000 square feet of canopy.
But let's talk about Colorado for a second. So what do you got? If it's 3,600, maybe like 50 lights, 60. What do you got? What do you got popping in there?
Well, I mean, that number is not going to speak to anybody because our system is so different.
Sure. It's not relative to that. I was just curious about how many watts your Ryze running
We're roughly running around 28 watts per square foot of canopy.
Okay.
That's a good expression that you could use.
And the thing is when you start doing these calculations, they constantly are going to change, right? Because more lights, there's more heat, there's more factors, I guess, when you guys have to close down a room and stuff,
so
right?
Here's the neat thing that happens when you start working in a completely controlled atmosphere that is 100% gas tight to the outside environment. So first of all, any influence from outside does not influence what's happening inside.
Sure.
So the result that you're getting is that you have to remove all the humidity that gets transpired through the plants. But the neat thing about this is that you can capture that 100% and reuse that in irrigation. So if you start comparing that to an outside grow or a greenhouse grow, we're only using 3-5% of the water in actual uptake during a grow, and can reuse everything that gets transpired through the plants time over time, as it's just perfect fresh water that comes back.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've even heard of these crazy things where now they can like pull the moisture and then like refeed the plants from what comes
That's what's happening. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty wild. That's pretty cool.
So that's that solution. We've trademarked the name GrowX. That's the name of that facility. Like I said, we're currently looking for the best partners, the best brands from California who would be interested to work with us, not only on a supplier level in the US, but also as a platform to export from Montreal to the different countries that allow that.
Sure.
So it's a partnership that we're actively looking for.
Now, can you export THC from Montreal?
Yes,
you can.
Yeah.
And worldwide. Is London, from what I heard now, is K Medical?
Yeah.
Is that true?
UK. Yeah.
You know.
UK, Germany. There's quite a few countries that are adding every month, I think.
Where they're importing and stuff like that. It's pretty interesting. It's crazy how it's booming all over the world. But Cali is the fifth, if you guys didn't know, fifth largest economy in the world.
Yes, I know.
Bigger than London. Yeah. It's not than the UK, so which is nuts.
That's why people are pointing to Canada to be a leader, and it is, and we're very proud of it, but let's be realistic too. As soon as the US market and the California market opens up to international trade, it's going to blow everything else out of the
water. Yeah, it's going to be kind of nuts. Yeah, but there's so many politics, and Cali is just one of those places where, it was a certain way for the past 20 something years. So it's going to take, there's definitely been a lot of blowback, a lot of this, a lot of that, a lot of people trying to apply and not apply in this. And it's going to be, next year is going to be interesting because there's a lot of people getting weeded out here in California that have been around for a long time.
Absolutely. And the companies that are forward thinking enough to kind of compare to other agricultural industries, technology is a very important player to keep those operational costs down. And the companies that do are going to be the ones that are going to be great.
That'll make it. Yeah. Because if you over cost the lights, the power, the this, the that, everything else, in the end, you're going to end up, when there is so much weed, and look at Oregon and even Colorado, how much prices started going down year after year because so much is being produced. That makes a big difference when your inherent costs of your building ends up costing you, no matter what, a certain amount of money because you don't have it controlled. So
exactly.
Even if you're trying to do the best that you can, those costs can almost take you over the top.
Yeah.
And you be fucking losing a lot of money, which a lot of these companies actually do. A lot of people think, oh, because it's a 50,000 or 100,000 or 300,000 facility that it's going to be millions and millions of dollars a butt. The bigger it is, the harder it is.
Yes, absolutely.
And the more costs that go into per pound, right?
Yeah. The thing that's also happening is the environmentalists, they are closely looking at cannabis in terms of, already we're seeing some negative feedback out of Oregon and Northern California, I think, where large greenhouses are taking up just too much footprint. They're cutting down trees, they're moving animals around. It's having an impact on the environment to have such a huge amount of square footage under greenhouse or non-efficient grow type solutions. That's one thing that we are providing also as a solution for those environmentalists, is that our facilities will use a fraction of the footprint, a fraction of the grit of the energy, it's just a greener facility, basically.
That's awesome. So let me ask you, while you guys are here talking and educating all the people we have listening on Dash Radio and millions of cars out there, any shout outs you guys want to give out? Anybody you want to say hey to while you're hanging out in Cali? Any family at home or anybody?
Not really, no. I mean, I can't think of anybody that I'd like to single out right now.
All right, I got you.
Don't want to make anybody jealous.
I got you.
Hey, mom.
Yeah, all right, cool. Mom's always a good one. You guys got a website for people to check out?
It's storexca.com.
Perfect. And then you guys got Instagram or social media or anything like that?
No, we're still pretty much, we're the engineers that kind of fly under the radar. So we're not this is kind of like a new thing for us to do an interview like this.
That's cool, man. You guys got to be out there on the social media. That's how people know what's up. Maybe we'll have to help you guys out a little bit with that for sure.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and great success, we hope, with everything you guys are doing. And it sounds like what you guys are onto or something that is going to be very beneficial to a lot of growers in the future.
Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for your time,
man. Hell yeah.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.
All right, so we're back. CWCBE. Things flowing, things going. And like I said, it's always nice when I'm doing interviews and actually get to interview somebody that I'm friends with and a fellow colleague in the cannabis industry. What's up, Danny from Convectin? How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, man. What's up?
How's it feel to be around this LA crowd?
I love it. The energy in LA is special because I think we've been doing this longer than most. And I think we're out in front of a lot of the industry. So
absolutely,
it's great.
Absolutely. And let's talk about when you first started, before you got into what we're going to talk about, your crazy machinery. Let's talk about what made you get into the cannabis industry.
Yeah.
And when did you decide to jump into this shit?
It was August 26th of 2013. I was in a hospital bed, appendectomy. I was looking for some way to kind of calm my pain because I was on meds and I'd never really been in a hospital before.
Sure.
And I read an article and it talked about cannabis and e-cigarette revolution and all these different devices and all this sort of stuff. And I just piqued my curiosity. I'd been investing in a bunch of companies at the time and I was tired of sitting on the sidelines.
Sure.
And I wanted to do something kind of cool, and it looked like an opportunity, and we started as a product company to go disrupt it, and that's how we started. So.
And then you started first with the pens, and then you started going through different versions, right?
Yeah, we
went with like the regular style that everybody's knows, right?
Right.
But then you decided to pimp them out and make these like carbon, how do you explain them, like fucking carbon
Shelled,
you're better explaining it to me.
No, you're right on it. It's carbon fiber wrap. And what we did different was a lot of the vaporizers at the time were combustion vaporizers. So you'd hit a button, it would burn the flower, and it tasted terrible. It tasted like burn popcorn.
Sure.
And so one of our brands was Blackout X, and we were all over getting Doug With High, Sarah Silverman,
nice.
You know, Jack Black, all these guys using this product, because what we did was we came out with a convection vaporizer, which is where our name come from. So
sure.
the name of the company is Convectium, which is our overarching umbrella. And what we did is we leveraged this really cool heating technology and made it look fresh and made it look sexy and made it, you know, portable. And this was the first time this had been done. And we had a disposable at the time, which I think you knew
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, sure.
So,
the throwaways are great because they're convenient, especially if you're on vacation.
Yeah. First, we had the first one that ever did wax. And people thought it was crazy because in 2014, they were like, where do we get wax? And so,
sure.
So we've definitely come a long way.
And it was more of the fact that not as many people had the ones you could load into and have multi-functions, which is what you guys definitely dialed in.
Yeah, we realize we're probably less of a product company because what we became good at is doing things for other people. So we became more of a service company. And so what I did was I took my tech background, my tech knowledge of automation and applied it to machinery, applied it to this industry. And so, you know, if you want to make the analogy, you know, we always say we're not sure who the next Beats by Dre is going to be for cannabis, but as long as we're making the headphones, we don't care.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you started doing pens, and then people started saying to you, well, how do we fill them?
Yeah, I thought that was crazy. I didn't know that this industry didn't have basic equipment. So I said, you know, just a filling system like you would fill ketchup or something like that. And they go, that doesn't exist. And that's when all the light bulbs went on for me.
And what year was that?
2015.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, you decided, let me figure out how to get into this technology. Now, definitely not an easy feat. You have to have a lot of connections, right? And
hey,
especially
you're one of them.
Oh, for sure. But I mean, as far as the technology, you had to create this in China,
yes.
right?
We,
you had to figure out how to do it, right? Ship it, this. It's a lot of shit, right, that you had to figure out to actually get the first one going, right?
Yes. I mean, I have 35 employees at the company today, I used to do the job of 35 employees as how it feels.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Yeah, doing R&D, you know, shipping, logistics, the marketing, the website. I mean, we were literally a small company trying to be a big company. But, you know, we applied a little bit of the lean startup methodology. So if,
sure.
you're, if you guys are startup guys out there listening to this, the lean startup methodology, Eric Ries, that's a little bit of my background was the startup world. So we developed an MVP, which is our most viable product at the time, got it into the marketplace, and then just kept making it better and better and better. We didn't wait till it was perfect. We didn't want analysis paralysis. We wanted
sure.
to get into this market. We were the best version of what existed at the time.
And then you couldn't stop there. You actually had to keep recreating 2.0, 2.3, 2.0 whatever.
Yeah.
Right? You couldn't be satisfied with a pen that actually worked fine. You had to make it even better.
Yeah, we're on version 8 of our machine. We're on version 4 of our new cartridge. We now have 3 SKUs for the cartridge, so different cartridges out there. And then the capping machine, which we just launched, which is the only auto capping system in the industry. So not really exciting when you look at it from a consumer perspective. If you're a consumer, you're like, hey, I don't care as long as my cartridge works.
Sure.
But when you think about the back end of it, you do care because you want a clean experience. You don't want guys with syringes and paper towels and all that sort of stuff wiping down your cartridges. You want it to come out of a medical grade device. You want it to
sure.
to not touch human hands. You don't want to contaminate oil. Right?
Absolutely.
This is medicine.
And that's actually a good thing. One thing to actually think about is that if most of these pen filling machines don't cap it for you and a human has to cap it, if someone like just as simple as didn't wash their hands or use antibacterial soap, let's say, before they start touching all this shit, you could cross-contaminate it with bacteria, right?
Yes, 100%. I mean, we've seen the best labs in the world have some of the most bizarre filling techniques before we help them. You know, I've attended labs that had dogs in the lab area.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, just pets. You know, they're pets, like, laying on the floor, and I would explain to them how bad that was.
Sure.
You know, we helped clean up a lot of what was happening. I think the improved testing for the industry is starting to happen. We're seeing
sure.
consumer cannabis groups make
absolutely.
Sure that there's no contaminants or pesticides. These are all necessary steps, and, you know, I love regulation, but as long as it's proper. I don't want, you know, cigarette industry regulation. conversations to hit us, because we're not we're not a bad thing. You know, every day I look at the alcohol industry and I look at the tobacco industry and I say, how could we ever be compared to these groups? But somehow, some way, the politics have come around. So if we can, you know, as a group, standardize the process, not contaminate the product, use it as medicine, the cleaner it looks, the less taboo and the less stigma applies. And, you know, we've already seen the consumers in America support cannabis, you know, nationwide. The train has left the station, right?
Sure.
When it gets there, you know, the current administration isn't exactly helping. But
no, I got you.
But I will argue that the one consistent standpoint that we've had is it appears that the administration, Trump, and these guys are not stepping on states' rights, and it looks like they're supporting the States' Rights Act. And if that happens, we're well on our way to having more standardized processes, standardized banking processes.
Sure.
You know, we don't even touch the plant.
Absolutely.
And we've been shut down by three banks.
Well, yeah, I know. You know,
it's the craziest thing ever.
And just by association, we are the same way.
Right.
You know what I do.
Of course.
You know that we license.
Of course.
And we don't make anything.
Yeah.
But I've already gone through two banks because of this.
Yeah. And we're talking national bank chains.
Yeah.
You know?
Same thing. Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's
it's sad.
I mean, even heard
about that senator who just, or something like that, just backed cannabis as, you know, believing that it's okay, and Wells Fargo fucking shut her account down.
Correct. And
nuts.
By the way, that was one of our banks that shut us down. I've been a personal customer of theirs for 23 years.
Me too.
We had
a long-ass time, and they did the same thing to
me. Yeah, and we got a notice, in 30 days, you're out of here. We'd been banking with them for 5 years.
Yeah, so, I had that same thing happen with Citibank.
Yeah, so, you know, look, I think companies like us are not that sexy, because I always make the comparison that we're like cranes behind the casinos.
Sure.
Casinos are fun and exciting, and we're, you know, we're help building them, but it takes a shit ton of cranes to build a sexy casino.
Absolutely.
And if we don't build right, if we're not the right type of company, that, you know, you have, your ceilings are going to cave in, right?
Sure,
so,
absolutely.
So we do it right. We're not the cheapest group in town to use for your system, but you know what? We're the best, get what you pay for, and I think the consumers are benefiting from this. I think when the consumers go into the stores and they say, do you have a Cove cartridge? Do you have the Riptide cartridge? Do you have the Reef cartridge? They're doing that because they know that the quality is there. They know there's no glue in any of our machines, in our cartridges. And so for us, we're very, very cognizant about what are we putting in our machines.
Sure,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So you started doing it, you're getting it, you've been going to all the shows. How's the response? Like, you've been selling a ton of these machines or what?
Yeah, so we're definitely the largest seller. We can't get into numbers or figures.
No numbers.
We're
like,
in a quiet period, so unfortunately they can't. But
you're kicking ass.
Yeah, but I would say we are a growing company, yes.
Can we talk about the price of the machines?
Yeah,
or those
of course.
Things?
Yeah, okay. Any product-related stuff, I'm happy to do. So
someone, you know, interested in the business, talk about what's the difference between how your machine fills per hour compared to the average machine that's similar to yours.
Sure. So let me talk to the consumer or the grower or the wholesaler or the cultivator first, which is, if you're, you know, doing 3,000 cartridges a month or something like that, you're basically at the entry point of where our machine starts to make sense. And the reason why is because you're at scale. And when you scale, if you were to do it by hand, if you were to rack 100 cartridges, fill 100 cartridges, wipe off 100 cartridges, cap 100 cartridges, it takes about an hour per person to do 100. If you use our system, $20,000 for the filling system, $12,000 for the capping system. So for about $32,000-$33,000, you can cap and fill and rack and everything without touching by human hand, $6,000 an hour.
$6,000 an hour.
Right. So the output increases 60 times. So what happens is those supply side problems that we're having in the industry right now go away, because we don't have a demand problem, right? But we have a supply problem because people can't test fast enough, load fast enough.
Sure.
Right. But
absolutely.
But concentrates are great because they last for a long time. Flower doesn't necessarily last as long.
Sure.
And so if we can get a concentrate with an approved testing process, and it can sit in a device that doesn't corrode and doesn't have glue and all that, and they
could it last?
So it depends on the container, but you know, we're talking, you know, a year.
At least a year.
Yeah, at least.
That's great. That's unbelievable.
And no refrigeration necessary, room temperature.
Just leave it out. Now, if you did put it in a fridge, would it preserve it longer?
Well, I will not. I did major in biochemistry. I did major in biochemistry, but I'm going to back out of this answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does it hurt the cartridge?
No. So the cartridge has been temperature tested. Most of the oil that flows into the cartridges is warm. So we have a warmed injection system and a warmed basin so that the oil flows nicely into it.
Because sure.
If you're, you know, guys out there know anything about this oil, is it is impossible. You don't use soap to try to get off. You need isopropyl alcohol. It's a messy beast.
But that's also just so people understand that the cannabis plant and the oil and resin that comes from it does not bind with water. So when you all of a sudden your hands are sticky with some oil or weed or resin and you go run to the fucking, you know, to clean your hands and just spray water, you're like, fuck, why is it getting thicker? Why is it not even like coming out? And that is because of that. But alcohol or isopropyl alcohol, like you're talking about,
takes it right off, right?
Does bind with it.
So this is our chemistry lesson for the day. Non-polar substances help clean non-polar substances like oil, right? So,
absolutely.
That is part of the cannabis, the whole cannabis problem, which is, that was one of the problems when you try to wipe them down. You have to wipe them down with isopropyl. Well, what if the alcohol is now getting inside the cartridge before you wipe it? I mean, there's a whole cross-contamination problem. So this whole platform is really just made so that if you're a producer or you're a consumer, you're going to ask one of two questions. Is this a better process? Is it faster? Is it more efficient? But more importantly, is it healthier in the sense that I know that I'm not going to get cross contamination and these sort of things.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why it's important. And so, you know, it's not always excited to hear about medical devices and medical grade devices.
Sure, sure.
But it is exciting when you feel good about what you're putting in your body.
Absolutely. And the quality. And there's a lot of ePen users out there, so it's good to get your education. And you got any shout outs, Danny, to anybody you want to throw out there?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, we have some really good partners, Precision Extraction, great extraction partners of ours, and we work with them a lot.
Shout out to Precision.
Yeah, Precision, they're great. One of our clients, Candescent, we love Candescent, great guys. They have a phenomenal product. You guys are about to see some really cool stuff out of them.
Sure, nice.
And just my team in general. I mean, these guys have put up with a crazy amount of changes over the last, you know, couple of years here.
Absolutely.
And then a general thank you to Purple Haze Properties and you, Andrew, been a great friend and a client of ours and you know, and a partner. We just say thank you. And
Yeah. And all you guys, if you get the chance to come down to CWCBE Los Angeles, come check out the Shark
710,
the Shark 710 machine that definitely has all the needs you need for filling your ePen and pills. And then you guys are going to be in Boston or no?
Yeah, we'll be in Boston, so we'll see you there.
Absolutely.
We'll see you up in Oakland.
Oakland.
We do a lot of shows.
Yeah, we do a lot of shows together.
I have a lot of mileage. I'll tell you, consumers, one last thing, and this is one piece of education that you can always grasp from this, which is you can listen to this whole thing. And the most important question you can ask your retailer when you're buying, or as a grower, you can ask your supplier is, do I have glue inside my cartridge?
Oh.
And if the answer is yes, you have a problem, because the terpene, you have an oxidation reduction reaction with terpenes and glue in many cases, and you can be contaminated. Your cartridge can be contaminated before you ever use it.
Wow.
And so these are the things that we're trying to make people aware of, and we're standardizing so that this is never a problem again.
And what's the website?
Convectium.com.
Spell it for all the stoners.
Sure. It's C-O-N-V-E-C-T-I-U-M. It's like convection and titanium mixed together. And I'm easy. Email me, Danny@convectium.com, and I'll give you the answers to the craziest questions you can think of. And if I can't, I'll reach out to one of our partners who can.
Hell yeah, my brother. Thank you so much for chilling with me over here and doing an interview for the station. And I look forward to us getting the fuck out of here and actually doing a little smoke break at some point.
That's right. Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And
shout out to LA.
Hell yeah.
All right.
You're live on Purple Haze Radio. Cannabis Lifestyle Radio.